It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And just to prove that we're live, today is the 23rd day of December, which prompts me to wish everyone out there a very happy Festivus.
Oh, yes.
It is that.
Very important. And a Merry Christmas.
Yes. Now, Festivus, as you know, probably know, starts with the airing of grievances. So skip that part if you're going to call in. Let's get to the fun parts instead.
I thought it was the guy in Gunsmoke. No, no.
That's Festus. They added a few syllables. Boy, some people show their age just as easy as making a comment like that, don't they? If you know
who did that?
No, I don't know. Anyone? Well, me by answering you, for one. Man, good old days, huh? Anyway, for everybody out there who is a regular, thanks so much for always being there. And if you're new to the show, maybe you're turning over because nobody else except the people on this station do their shows live on the Saturday before Christmas and the Saturday before the New Year. We will be here according to the powers that be.
Not here. I will not be here, but I will be calling.
You'll be live. Yes. At the powers that be at WBOB. That was poetic. They assure us that we are able to do this, and we will. Adam will be on a mountaintop in Tennessee. Well, not really Tennessee.
Georgia.
It sounds better because of the old song. But I will be sitting right here, and he will be talking as if right here. And having done that before, I think you have a spot all picked out that works up there.
Oh, I don't know. We're staying at a different place, so place we're staying doesn't have a good connection, I will drive to somewhere that does.
Yeah, what the heck. Make accommodations for our listeners any old time, whatever it takes, I say. Well, golly, it's hard to believe. It's almost impossible to believe. I'm still stuck somewhere around July or August, it seems, mentally, just wondering how much time can go by and how little time. And yet, it's been good, and it's been another good week, which I'll have Adam talk about. And we will take a little bit of time to discuss why it is the crazy year that it is, that where the markets are up great, people are setting all kinds of records, and nobody feels like it's a really good time out there.
Nope. It is one of the... Well, what's funny is if you think back to this time last year, things were actually way worse. The writing was on the wall for 2022, with the benefit of 30-30, 50-50 hindsight. It's so easy to see now that it's just so obvious. But I would venture to say that almost everybody feels way worse about right now than they did a year ago.
Well, it's obvious from the people we've had in the office. The attitudes this year are worse. Their account values are far better. And last year, that recent quarter from last year really stunk up the place badly. It's just been so strange, and we have been talking about it for quite literally months, about how things are different than they feel, or they look different than they are, whatever it is. But it's been good, and you might as well tell them how good has it been.
Yeah, despite Wednesday being one of the worst days in the market in I can't even remember how long. In fact, Wednesday was a really weird day. It started off up, and then really for no reason that I was able to find, it just crashed on Wednesday afternoon. And I honestly still have yet to be able to identify a reason for it. I don't know if you saw anything. Did you?
No. I saw it happen.
Yeah, it was very odd.
It just somebody pulled the plug and said, "No, we've gone up too many days
too much,
or
too
whatever
fast and whatever
and to prove how wrong they were, we got it back.
The futures were up pretty substantially Thursday morning. It was really a weird day. It was one of the worst days of the year, and yet the week ended up pretty solidly up. The Dow added 0.2%, the S&P 0.8%, and the Nasdaq tacked on another 1.2%. So that was on top of what has already been a really good year. The S&P has now erased almost all of 2022's losses, and it sits at a 52-week high. So what comes next? That's the big question. We're going to be discussing that this week and next week, and probably more going into 2024, because I don't think anyone really has the answer yet. And I think it's going to take well into 2024 to figure out what is going to happen in 2024.
It might take till this time next year.
It really might. It's such an odd setup to a year. I don't remember ever having this much uncertainty about a year. The economy is on surprisingly decent footing right now. I don't know how else to put it.
I don't either.
It's not bad, but it feels terrible.
Yeah, and if you ask any individual how their personal economy is, you're likely to get an answer like, it stinks.
Yeah.
Collectively.
Things are not as bad as what everyone's personal situation feels like, I guess.
No, what you need to do if you want to get into a better mood is talk to a bunch of people in the bar and restaurant business. How is their year going? It's booming, thank you.
Well, it's booming, but their costs have gone up so much. Yeah, I don't know that they're making a ton more money.
That is true.
I mean, they're on the top line, they probably are, but the bottom line, I'm guessing, is not extremely different.
Yeah, it's kind of like gas stations. When the price of gas goes up, their sales go crazy, but they don't make a lot more money, not in the relative way of the pricing itself. But you have food. Everybody knows food is where we've really taken it on the chin from an inflation standpoint.
No doubt about it. The major risks that still exist are that the yield curve is still inverted, which has been going on for over a year now. Some economic data is getting weaker and interest rates are still high, although they have come down some. That doesn't mean that there isn't good news, though. Outside of the seven biggest stocks in the market, valuations are pretty reasonable. Some economic data is holding up much better than expected. Election years, well, pretty painful for the average American just from having to watch political commercials standpoint. They tend to be pretty good years in the stock market. The big three problems that caused the most pain in 2022 have all reversed, with oil prices coming down, the dollar weakening, and interest rates are definitely coming down, although they're still high. So all of that is good for the market. This is as confused as we've ever been about the situation.
The JOLTS report came out like this, what, a third or a quarter less jobs available. But then you look at the layoffs on Thursday morning, and I think they're up 2,000 to a tiny little number.
Yeah.
So you want a job? Go get a job.
No doubt about it. There's still employment out there.
Unless, of course, you're some kind of ditzy millennial, which we'll talk about after the break.
I have such a fun article to talk about.
It really
later.
Is. And we might as well have a good time. It's Christmas,
seriously.
Right?
So anyways, large caps had a really good week, but once again, small and mid caps outperformed. Mid caps were up 1.5% and small caps up 2.6%. The best performing sector of the S&P 500 was communication services, which gained over 2.2% during the week. The worst performer was utilities, which dropped over 2.1%, so quite a spread between the top and the bottom. The commodities index inched up this week, led by a 2.3% gain in oil, a 1.75% gain in gold, and a 1.3% gain in silver. International markets also had a strong week, with the international index climbing 1.6%. Brazil has been on a bit of a tear lately. It's up 3.7% this week, and China continues to struggle. Their market's down 2.2% this week on a string of really bad losses for China.
Yep.
Hong Kong seems to be bouncing back a bit. It had a big gain last week, and it tacked on another 0.8%. I'm not sure why they're going in different directions. That's interesting.
Well, I think because the damage has already been done in Hong Kong, and they're looking at Taiwan saying, tough, you're next.
Yeah, fair. Fixed income was mixed. Aggregate bond market was up slightly, but long treasuries fell while short treasuries rallied. So kind of a weird outcome in fixed income,
that's
too.
That's just, again, more of that noise or cognitive dissonance or whatever, the reason that we have trouble predicting things.
Yep, definitely. So a little bit more to wrap up on the other side, but we're up against a break.
Yes, and I have some news for you that just came in, so you'll want to hear it. Don't go anywhere. We'll take a little break and be right back. This is the Van Wee Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we do have a trivia question I'll get to in just a minute. But first, my crack research department has come in. If you're of a certain age, just this stuff is just a little bit of info for you. Ken Curtis, born Curtis Wayne Gates, in 1916, died in 1991, was an American actor and singer, best known for his role as Festus Hagen on the Western television series Gunsmoke. And if you're surprised to hear that he was an actor and singer, as I am, I wouldn't be surprised that you're surprised, or whatever. All right, trivia question today brought to you as usual by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. And it's going to be about electric vehicles. There's a lot of news on the electric vehicle arena right now. And I would say very largely it's very negative. The probably the simplest piece of economics in the country is that the harder you push Americans in general, the more pushback you're going to get, especially if it's unreasonable. And the cost structure and so on will take care of itself also. But my question for this week, what is the best example of how much a company that makes electric vehicles loses per vehicle? You've seen it.
So which company loses the most
per vehicle? Most per vehicle.
Yeah. Okay.
And how, not only which one, but how much? I'm not going to give you the name because you could look it up too easily. But
I still think it's funny. The problem with electric vehicles is not electric vehicles. The problem is the government trying to cram them down your throat and force go into them. Because the fact is, if you look at the stats, people were already moving to electric vehicles because consumers want them. Look how popular Teslas are. They're everywhere now, and people love them.
And
they
absolutely
love them.
Yep. All he had to do was let it happen.
Right, but then they tried to make it mandates and get rid of gas engines, and then people, they start pushing back, like you said.
I'm not getting rid of my gas engine. I hear it all the time.
It actually probably made it less popular than it already would have. It would have been more popular had they not done that.
Yeah, and then you take states like California to say, well, you can only buy that after 2035 or whatever it is. Well, no. Only is not a word that sits well with Americans.
No. It's so dumb. The whole strategy was just about as well thought out as everything else that comes out of D.C. Yeah, so
exactly.
Anyways, I think we have a caller.
We do.
I don't see any lines blinking, though, so maybe not. I don't know.
We do, but I don't see.
Okay.
Phone line isn't lit.
Nope. Anyways, all right.
Well, let's see if I can get anything. Good morning. Can you hear me, Joe?
Good morning.
Okay. Yeah, my lights are out, but somebody's home.
Yeah, okay, that's all right.
I might. What can we do for you today, aside from saying Merry Christmas?
Merry Christmas. But just to get to the point, you know, the government borrowing and our debt, you know, could you guys just, you know, spell out the... Number one, how we get out of this mess, and number two, what are the bad possibilities that could happen as a result of what's going on with government borrowing and printing of money?
Well, there are three ways to get out of debt. Just take them one at a time. You can start spending less than you take in. Well, that's not going to happen.
Not with these fools in charge.
No, we're way too far into it. Or... Basically, there's two general ways. The third one's kind of an offshoot of that one. But the other main one is you can monetize your debt. And all that means is that you devalue your dollar, and you don't have to do it intentionally. If you've been reading anything about Argentina, the new fellow down there, Meili or something like that, his name is?
Yeah, I'm familiar with him.
Good. But he devalued their peso 50%.
Sure.
Needless to say, he got a lot of flack for that. But if he did, it's only because they weren't paying attention when they voted him in, because he's doing exactly what he said he was going to do. So we have to make our dollar go further, and that means we're going to have to devalue it so that the debt size is less large, I guess, relatively, than the pile of dollars that we have. So if they keep doing the inflation route, and they will, inflation is not going to go away. Yes, it's less than it used to be, but look where the prices are.
I agree with you on that also.
Yep. So what are the The other one, the third one, is kind of an offshoot or a result or whatever, and that's to default. What happens if we default on our debt? Well, one of two things. Either the whole world defaults on theirs and we have what everybody refers to as the big reset, or our credit rating goes to hell in a handbasket and this country goes into a spiral down that cannot be stopped. So if you rule out A and C, we go to B. We inflate our way out of it. Now, there is kind of a parallel to that, too. If we could grow our way out of it without inflating it, but that would involve Congress spending the same or less money than they do now while the economy grows. Well, they can't help themselves. They can't do that. So fundamentally, if you just wanted to be an old Scrooge, you'd say, well, we're screwed. That's it. And there's no way out. So look for more inflation and try to hedge it. Now, how long can it go on? I don't know. I've been reading. I'm in my 70s. And I've been reading about the coming default or whatever since I can remember. So how long can we keep it up? I don't know. Really don't know. You got any opinions that I haven't touched on or have?
No. Well, I mean, I agree with you 100%. You know, as far as the spending goes, you know, there have been numerous people that have floated numerous plans. Like, I think Rand Paul was talking something about the penny plan. So for every dollar, every dollar budgeted gets cut by a penny every year.
Yep. And in 5 years, you know, you're looking pretty.
Right. And, you know, that is such a simple concept to grasp. And, I'm 62, and I'm going to be 62 in January, and I am glad that I am where I am in my life cycle, because I don't really see anything to get happy about as far as what I can see in the future.
You'd be amazed how often that discussion takes place in households across the country that are of a certain age, including my own, and it's just... Our system is so bad. We reward incompetence with these people by continuing to reelect them.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah. I'm just going to throw out one more thing there.
Of course.
You know, when the when our government was set up, and I don't know if this is true, but I heard this and I'm going to look it up. George Washington wanted... you know, congressional representation to amount to one representative for every 50,000 people. And that person stay amongst the populace that is their constituents and not spend so much time in Washington.
Yep.
Because, you know, you can keep an eye on your representative when you see him out at the local fine dining establishment with a representative from some unknown drug company that's trying to buy his votes, and so on and so on and so on. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. It was supposed to be a citizen's house, at least. And, of course, we all know exactly what happened there. It just keeps growing and growing. So I don't know of a way to tell these people that they have to get their heads together and do something. Because Congress has an under 20% rate of acceptance or agreement or, you know, popularity contest or whatever, and they reelect 95.
The approval rating you're talking about.
Yeah, it's under 20%, but the reelection rate is over 90%. So there's 70% of the people out there.
If you ask anybody about their specific congressman, they say, he's
good. Mine's good, but yours is horrible. And that's how everybody is, and that's how everybody has been for so long. And I would say, you know, if you got a gutsy person, a gutsy enough person out there, you kibosh all pensions and so on, put term limits in, and then see if we couldn't start to right the ship. But we did it once, and it wouldn't stay. When Newt did it in the 90s, they did pass term limits, and the Supreme Court threw it out in 10 minutes. It took nothing to do it. So it's not going to happen. I hate to be such a downer. I just can't think of a pleasant way to approach this problem.
Right. Well, I didn't think I was going to receive anything uplifting. I just basically thought that it would be good commentary for the at least the local populace to hear, because I think a lot of people are running around just like Congress with their head in a undisclosed location.
Yes, you are absolutely right. All right, we're coming up on a break real quickly here. Would you like to take a shot at our trivia question?
Okay, what is the trivia question?
It is, how much does the government subsidize the electric vehicle that gets the highest subsidies? They all get subsidies, but how much per vehicle is the highest one out there?
I'm going to say $8,000.
All right, I'm going to tell you that you're off an order of magnitude, just to make this easier. So,
I didn't know it was that much.
Well, you don't fail to listen to the rest of the show. You will know.
Okay, I will.
All right, we appreciate the call. Merry Christmas. Thanks for everything. And we'll be right back, people, after a short break. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And our lines are open, 904-222-8255. And the trivia question is there. The government subsidizes every electric vehicle sold. What is the highest subsidy received by an EV maker per car?
Oh, wait. Didn't you say what's the biggest loss per car earlier?
Well, the biggest subsidy.
Okay.
Which is kind of the same thing. It costs them X amount to make them, and they charge Y amount, and the subsidy is the rest. So they all get subsidized one way or the other.
Yeah, but I don't think they get subsidized for whatever they lose on the
Well, I don't know how this one got here. I'll talk about that a little more when we give out the answer, because you're not going to believe your ears. Good morning, Ron.
Morning, gentlemen.
What's happening?
Two things I want to wish both of you a very Merry Christmas.
Right back at you. Thank you.
Thank you, and I'd like to concur with the previous caller. I'm 70 years old, and I'm so thankful I'm at this stage of my life.
It's common, believe me.
I used to think I'd love to be younger when I was in my 40s or 50s, but not anymore.
That's sad commentary on the way this country's run, isn't it?
Exactly. I feel sorry for the young people today.
Yeah, you know, the only good news is that every single generation has done it. And I know that my grandparents worried. I know my parents worried. I'm worried. Adam's got concerns also, but they all pull it out somehow.
It's part of the natural cycle. I don't think there's been a generation of grandparents that didn't feel the same way that you feel.
No, and it often starts with their music. That's when they know things are going under.
Definitely. Clothing, music.
Those Beatles, the long-haired Beatles. My gosh.
I was just going to say, I was 10 years old when we were watching the Ed Sullivan Show, and my dad, he just thought the country was going to hell in a handbag when he saw the Beatles.
Well, Elvis kind of graced the stage a little bit at first. Man, they were really taken back by him.
Oh, I remember my great-grandma was mortified by Elvis.
Yep. See, that's funny. So, you know, I would like to leave them with some hope from our generation, but it's really hard to pinpoint any.
Well, I hate to say it. I see young people frequently, and I always apologize as a baby boomer for what we've done to their country and what their future is in store. I don't know if I'm correct in doing that, but I really think the baby boomers messed this world up.
Yeah, well, I do the same thing. I apologize for our generation. Following what happened to our parents, we've gone a long way backwards.
Backwards, yes. And
so true.
Anyway, I'm going to let you go because I know you got other callers. I'm going to just take a quick shot at the trivia question. And I always try to pair it up with a baseball player. I really idolize Sandy Koufax, and I think he's the greatest pitcher I ever saw. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go with the number 32 and say 32,000.
Okay. That's way low. I mean,
really?
It's way low.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. You'll be laughing what? Until you hear the answer, at which time it'll turn into crying, I promise you.
Well, all we got to do is shut these ERV companies down and we'll settle our debt. No. How many trillions of dollars are we losing?
Oh, we can't shut them down now. We already built a charging station in Ohio.
Yeah.
One yeah. Good luck.
Only 499,999 to go, and we'll have the whole grid done.
My gosh. I'll be 85 by the time you can actually drive one of these things and stop.
No kidding.
Oh, boy.
You got to laugh. Well,
I got to now. I thought I was going to be high.
No, I got some other bad news to pile on this, too, that I'll get to in a little while.
Oh, I can't wait. Well,
thanks for the call. Merry Christmas. I hope you have a good
Merry
one.
Merry Christmas. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Right, Ed, you want to wrap up a little more?
Yeah, I had a couple other things. Okay. I think one of the most common questions we're getting these days is, man, we've seen a really good bull market so far, and is it possible it even continues into next year? Mm-hmm. And just based on the data, not based on the current situation, but if you look at the data, the answer would be a resounding yes. It could mm-hmm. continue for a long time further. Since the 1950s, bull markets have averaged a gain of 83.1% over 1,418 days. This one has lasted less than 400 days and is up just 27.7%. Wow. So we are just up about, a third of the total and well less than a third of the time. So there is plenty of room, and that's just to get to the average. So half of, basically half of them would be higher and half of them would be lower. But this current bull market would be it would be like the third or fourth shortest of all time if it ended next week. So
it never feels like there's more. It's kind of like what we've talked about so often. When you go to buy a house and then people have this tendency to look at what the guy who's selling paid for it. Say, oh, God, he's already made all the profit that can be made on it. I'm going in at the all-time high price. This has got to be stupid. He gets in there, and a few years later, he's going to sell it. He makes a $200,000-$300,000 profit. And then the new guy comes in and said, well, he only paid X for it, and there's no way I want to get in at the top and all that. It's the same thing. You got to remember, if you correct all the numbers we talk about over time, just for inflation, numbers become less and less meaningful. So if you think you can't make money, maybe the way you're going to make it is not preferable, but trust me, the dollars will be there someday when you go to do something different. And, if that's what you got to do, that's what you got to do, because we can't stop it. Anyway,
last point was, if you're worried about inflation, you're probably with the majority of Americans. However, the data this week, actually, for the first time in a long time, we saw a price decrease in inflation. So deflation. We actually saw deflation. Yep. The PCE index, that's the one that the Fed really likes. It actually fell 0.1%. It was the first decline since April of 2020. And if you strip out the volatile food and energy prices, the index was actually up 0.1% on the month. But so that negative number was probably
perfectly acceptable.
It's probably gas prices falling.
Yeah.
But that's the best case scenario. You really don't want prices of other things to fall. I know it sounds very attractive on its surface, but if that starts to happen, it's an indication of way worse problems than what we currently have. So don't root for a bunch of price decreases across the board. It's not what you want. I know it sounds great on paper.
Yeah, I would love it if food prices came down some more and gas prices came down some more.
Yeah.
And that's exactly why they report it with and without those two, because it can be very misleading both directions. But you're right, we don't want the economy to get so soft that we have an overall price level decrease.
Right, or deflation. On things like wages and just other, large purchase items. Like, you don't want house prices to crash. You don't want car prices to crash. It sounds great to pay less for everything, but it comes with a whole other set of problems that you do not want to deal with.
Yeah, we went through this more than once before, but when I was young, 28, I got into the manufacturing business, and it was at the time when the Carter inflation was really rampant. And I remember the first union contract that I negotiated for the guys in my shop was increases of 10%, 9%, and 8% over 3 years. And when all that was done and got back a little bit more normal, I found the biggest thing that happened was in the health insurance arena. The health insurance, we were paying some just ridiculously reasonable amount per month, like $38 a month or something like that. And it has crept its way up to about $2,000 a month for a family.
Somewhere between $1,600 to $2,000,
yeah. And those things, the really expensive things, don't go backwards.
No.
Now, housing did for a while, but we had a world of hurt going on in 08 when that happened, and people saw exactly what it was, and people who had actual money started ripping those things off the market as fast as they could for cash. Normally, they don't back up. There's a lot of things where that overall price level shows, and you're not going to get better. And the overall price level under this administration is about 20% now on average. Some things more, some things less. But that new level is here to stay, and you have to find a way to deal with it. And that's the part that's very difficult, I say. Anyway, the administration, I hate to throw out names because it sounds like it's bitter, and maybe it is. But anyway, the administration is subsidizing the Inflation Reduction Act, that of the dumbest and most misleading name ever given to a law in the history of the U.S. Congress. It has nothing to do with it. But you probably know that as part of the IRA, as they call it, which is yet another absurdity, they decided that Medicare is going to be able to negotiate prices with drug companies. Sounds great, doesn't it? We're all going to save a bunch of money. Except for one thing. You were not told, and I was not told, and I just found out from the Federalist, that all that money that's saved is going to subsidize green energy product, or green energy proposals. So they're taking all that money, and Medicare recipients are getting no break whatsoever. The drug companies are getting hit with massive new costs, and they're throwing away the money on green energy companies, just like Solyndra. And in fact, I've got a good example that I'll bring up after the break. And what's even worse, if you can get this through your head, that there could be something even worse, is who made a lot of money individually on this particular example that I've got after the break. So, you know, I really feel like I should be doing a lot more good news. So I'll try to wrap up the show on good news after a while. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Vanwee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanwee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanwee.
And I'm Adam Vanwee.
And we do want to go right back to the telephones. Good morning, Lane.
Good morning.
What's happening?
Merry Christmas.
Same to you.
Oh, we got lots of stuff happening. I just wanted to comment, and I've driven electric vehicles since the 70s. I did a lot of work in that arena in the 70s. I've owned a hybrid since 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a place for electric vehicles. We've been working on what kind of duty cycle, such as a stop-and-go van, which would be ideal.
Yeah, like golf courses come to mind.
Yeah. So first I have a question. Your crack research department, in the old days, we used to look at diagrams, charts, that showed from the first shovel turn to dig ore or come up with materials for batteries, cars, window glass, the whole nine yards. And it was kind of a flow to what the finished product sold for. And then its disposal at the end of its life. You know, do you ruin a landfill? Do you take? And I'd really like to see some of those modernized these days. But let me read you a line from Motor Biscuit. Until cost savings technology is available. Doesn't that sound great? So isn't the EV the cost saving technology? I mean, you already pointed out that EV owners are paying way more, if, depending on how you slice and dice it on a per mile basis, right, or try to relate it to a gallon of gas.
Yep.
And, you know, when's that going to come down? And so I have, the other thing is, please comment, how come EVs are going to people who can afford a luxury car? You know, when is a convenience store clerk going to be able to afford an EV? Anyway, I'm just throwing some, I guess, hot water on the EV idea. I think you're right. The fact that the government's jamming it down our throats.
Yep. Well, as Adam pointed out, if you just let the public go, they want these things.
Yeah, they
and
do.
And as they can afford them.
I think it's been proven at this point.
Absolutely. There's a lot of them out there. I've talked to several EV owners, and they love their cars.
Yeah, for sure. My neighbor has a Tesla, and the other one has a Rivian, and they both love them.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But that's
point.
Not in the
look
market.
Look at the caliber.
World.
Yeah, look at the caliber of that customer.
Yeah, for sure.
And
it's a very narrow market right now.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. The government's trying to force something that's way too expensive and onto the masses, and they can't afford it for one, and they're not ready for it for two.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sad.
I'm hoping somebody will call and answer the trivia.
Okay.
But they just better have an astoundingly high number ready for you.
That's
correct. Have you heard of Proterra, the one that went under in 22, I think?
I have not.
That one.
The name sounds familiar.
It was in Michigan, and it closed in August of 22, went bankrupt. But guess who sold her stock before the crash came? Somebody named Granholm.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. The current Secretary of Energy.
Right, yeah.
Go
it's
figure.
All an incestuous relationship.
Isn't it, though?
Well, would I give your listeners a hint if I said, look up Lucid? Are they in the running to answer your question?
It would help them a lot.
Yep, that might do a little good.
Yeah, so headquartered in California,
yeah,
manufacturing facilities in Arizona, and the government doesn't give the money to each particular car they make, but the government keeps the company running, and the company sells enough cars that when you divide one into the other, you get a subsidy, an effective subsidy per car. It's actually a loss per car.
Yeah, it's not really a subsidy.
No.
It's a loss.
Yeah. So
you
can give it another name if you want to, but it keeps the company running by getting this subsidy from the federal government.
But it's not a guarantee to cover all their losses.
No, they could pull that subsidy tomorrow, and this company would fold up overnight.
Well, it depends. That's not necessarily true. Lots of companies run on big deficits for the first few years.
Yeah, if they've had
venture capital funding.
Yeah, if they've had successful IPOs and things like that. And it's
expected that, you know, as an investor, you go into that knowing.
Right.
Yep.
But were gas cars and infrastructure subsidized back in the old days?
You
had guys like Standard Oil taking the gamble.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the government did build the interstates. That's not a direct subsidy, but it did explode the.
It helped.
Yep. The especially in the trucking industry. So I don't know.
It's not a total black and white thing.
No,
we
it's
do
not.
Know this though. No. If you'd let the market work, we'd all be better off.
I agree with that.
Yep.
Precisely. Yep. Well, you guys have a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
And don't forget to remind your listeners that they're the ones paying the subsidy.
Isn't that
yeah,
say
exactly.
the government.
Thanks for putting it so well.
Yep. Appreciate it, Lane.
Bye.
Take care.
All right, I'm going to go to Mike because he might have a guest on here. So, Mike.
Hey.
Good morning.
Good morning. I called to wish you, echo what everybody else said, happy holidays.
Thank
to you,
you
and family.
Same to you and yours.
Thank you. As to the question, very quickly, I have a Hyundai Ioniq hybrid that I get actually 63 miles to the gallon.
Wow.
And the only weakness in this car is the 12-volt battery that is used for the accessories and for starting. Right. It's half the size of a regular 12-volt battery, and mine swelled after 9 months, and it took them quite a while, Hyundai, to replace the 12-volt battery. But other than that, the car has all the bells and whistles, and we all know that the knock on an electric vehicle is. I just read something from the Heritage Foundation that says that when you buy an electric car, the cost after 10 years is double. The fact that there's a lack of charging stations, the fact that when you charge in your house, you're spending 10,000 watts of energy to charge. So there are definitely drawbacks to an electric vehicle.
Absolutely true.
Yeah. As to the same article I read in the Heritage Foundation, if this is true, the government spends up to $22 billion of our dollars to subsidize manufacturers and dealers.
Yep. And some are worse than others.
So that's my guess, $22 billion in taxpayer money.
I did it on a per-car basis.
Well, I know the Chinese supposedly spends, if you convert their dollar to ours, is about $11,000 a vehicle. Per vehicle, what the government spends, I'm going to say $50,000.
And you're light. Sad, isn't it? Yep, way light.
Would you know if the Heritage Foundation is correct that the government spends totally, all told, $22 billion?
Yeah, their research is very excellent.
Yeah, that number seems within the realm of reasonable. I mean, not to us, but for the government.
Yep.
Unbelievable what they spend of our money, and you could secure our border in no time if they wanted to.
You got that.
Anyhow,
right. All right, take care. Guys. Have the greatest holiday. Merry Christmas.
You got
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Marshall.
Marshall. Something didn't go right.
Okay. Sorry, I hit the wrong button.
We've been talking about Part D and how our premiums went down. Fenofibrate is a very popular cholesterol drug. I have gotten it before at Publix for zero. Yesterday, if my insurance had paid for it, it was going to cost me $126. GoodRx gave it to me for $15.
Wow, good.
So the answer to the question is, the good old capital system of GoodRx is a complement to those of us who have taken out the extremely low-cost Part D program.
Yep, I agree. And I've had a few of those examples myself, too.
Yep.
And there's not much you can do about it except try to be smart.
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Same to you, Marshall, for you and yours. And we appreciate all the calls during the year. And we'll be back again next week. And we're almost done with year number nine.
Last show of the year.
Yep. How about that? Of the calendar year. And then the last show of the Vanway financial years and the end of January. And we'll move into year 10. It doesn't seem possible.
No, it does not.
Yep. All right. We appreciate it. Thanks. All right, the Lucid Car Company, as we were just talking about, has been subsidized by the federal government, which has kept it operating. And if you divide what they sell, the car is called a Lucid Air, and apparently it's a very highly rated EV.
Looks
by
nice.
People who do that. Yeah, it looks good. I saw the website and the pictures and videos and stuff. But so far, we have spent on that company to keep it going $430,000 per vehicle. Merry Christmas, everybody. We'll be right back here next week. Thanks for listening. This is the Vanway Financial Hour.